I should probably pee one.
I probably should too before we start. Let's do that and then get started and figure out what we want to talk about.
Okay.
As we go.
I got that all recorded.
I thought I heard you come back. I was like, is he going to say anything? Is he back?
Along our journey through the realms of spirituality, conspiracy, SRA, ancient history, cryptozoology, wellness of the body, mind, and more. From undisclosed locations across the country, the Redacted Recover Your Mind podcast will challenge you, stretch your perspective, and make you question your reality. With your hosts, Mitchell O'Brien and his brother, Lucas O'Brien, looking through the lens of recovery from substance use disorder, the paradigm shift starts here.
Welcome back to Redacted Recover Your Mind podcast. I am Mitchell O'Brien and I have Lucas O'Brien here. We were just wrestling with some technology for more than I'd like to admit. More time than I'd like to admit. How are you doing on your side of things, Lucas?
I'm doing well. I'm happy you finally got it working and hopefully I sound a little more clear. And I don't really like the sound of my recorded voice when it's clear, but you know, at least people will hear me.
Well, we got a little bit of feedback or like background noise, but we're going to figure that out as we go. And we had to make do with a couple things too. So, but we're learning. That's the thing. So what,
it will get better and better. Time goes on.
And so we decided, or I guess I decided and you went with it, or we decided together. I'm not really sure how it played out, but we decided to try to do Discord, since we are in different states when we do this. We were just using a phone call and trying to use either Bluetooth or a different cord before, just to give people kind of a behind the scenes like a look at how we've been doing things. And I started this podcast from the bottom up. If people go back too far, don't go back too far, but if you go back too far, you can tell the difference. And so it's always been a learning process. This is the third recording I've ever done through Discord. Just full transparency out there everywhere. And even though the process that you and I just went through was like over an hour long, I think that it was the easiest I've had so far figuring it out.
Dude, that's kind of sad because I think it was closer to 2 hours, actually. I think we were almost 2 hours.
I was going to say it was, I said and, an hour, but it felt like more. So.
Yeah. We both had to, restart our computers, change cables, change the ports we were using. I had two different Bluetooth headphones in my ears the whole time so I could talk to them on the phone and listen to the computer and see what was going on in the computer. It's kind of ridiculous, but we got it working. So.
Yeah, we had multiple different Bluetooth things going on, multiple different cords that we went through, different reboots, just messing with settings on microphones, boards, different computers, and all of that. So it's like it's the behind the scenes stuff where we're Lucas and I both have he has more, but I have a little bit of experience with electronic stuff and the stuff that I've learned through this journey of podcasting. And it's just, when you try to do something new, it's difficult and you got to figure out, it's like learning a new language. And that's how I look at the Discord, is it was like a new language. And if you didn't speak it just right, then it was going to fall apart.
Yeah, what did you say earlier? It's like learning Latin. Like, you say it slightly wrong, and next thing you know, you summon a demon on accident. And...
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Because I think the very end, like, we had overcome a couple obstacles on my side and on your side. And then we just weren't getting all of the audio through. And you went in and just hit reset to default. And it worked.
And it's like, what? You know, the really frustrating thing about that is I hit reset to default and it reset it all to what I already had done.
Yeah.
After messing with it all. Like, it was almost exactly the same after reset to default and it just all worked. We're like, oh, okay, sure, why not?
It's like there was that one setting that might have been different, maybe out of what there was a lot of settings on that list. So we're learning. I'm enjoying it and all that jazz. But we're here today. And it feels like, people are just tuning in to the podcast, but I feel like, we're at the end of the podcast almost because we've been messing with this for over 2 hours now.
Yeah. So, usually it's a little easier than that.
Well, that's the show, folks. Have a great day. No, just kidding. So I had a video that I wanted to show you to get your take on. And this isn't the video that I saw the other day, but I found one and I think you're going to be able to hear it because everybody listening knows that we just figured all this out, kind of. So they should be able to hear it. You should be able to hear it, but I'm going to see what you think about this. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay.
NASA may have found city light on Proxima B. Proxima Centauri b is an exoplanet orbiting within the habitable zone of the red dwarf star called Proxima Centauri, which is the closest star to the sun. It is about 4.2 light years away from Earth, and it is located in the constellation Centaurus. Scientists in NASA are planning to use James Webb Telescope to do more detailed observation of these exoplanet to see if there is life. Do you think there is extraterrestrial life on Proxima B? Let me know in the comments. NASA.
So, they just let that out of the box. Like, we know what city lights look like on Earth from satellites, and now we're seeing that on another planet. What's your take?
Well, you can't trust anything NASA says. That's step one.
Because I have an opinion.
Generally speaking, that's step one.
Yeah. No, I have an opinion on this, and I want to hear yours.
Okay. This is the progression. This is where things are going. I don't know how much we've talked about it on the podcast from this perspective, but for many years, like 20, 30 years, there have been believers who I've seen behind the veil of the Christian church in the modern Western ideation of it. And they've seen how the Book of Enoch connects the story of the Watchers and the Nephilim and all these things that we've talked about. And they've been saying for a very long time, you'd find it out there. I don't have a specific person to send you to or anything, but you can find it if you really look for it. And they've been saying that there's going to be an alien invasion, but the alien invasion is going to be our benevolent overlords saying, we've been watching you for a long time. You know, they're going to save us from climate change or from a war or fallout from something stupid we do or something like that. We're going to be like, we just couldn't let you die. We're your benevolent overlords. We're going to cure all your diseases. We're all you have to do is take the mark and we'll fix everything. And the mark will probably be a genetic change. And there's the whole thing about the mark of the beast, the hand or the forehead, all that stuff that's interconnected with all of it. Yeah, it could be Neuralink. It could be a lot of things. Elon Musk might be one of those aliens. And he just comes out and says, you know, I've been here. I've come here. I've given you this technology. I've advanced all these different things. I've been working on getting to Mars because that's going to be your next step to meeting us at our civil. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying he's an alien. I'm saying it's possible. Who knows? An alien, I use alien as a very loose term. Like we've talked about that in the past, about angels and demons and spiritual beings and all that kind of stuff. But essentially, this is part of the process. They have to slowly reveal this stuff. And they've been saying for years now, President Trump, when Trump was president, I'm not claiming he is now by saying President Trump. I'm sorry if that triggers somebody. But when he was president, he said something about extraterrestrials and how we've interacted with aliens. And he was talking about this stuff and everyone ignored it. They're like, oh, that's nuts. Like, they've been saying it on the news. They've been saying that we see UFOs, that some of them are ours, they'd say, which is crazy to think about, actually. And some of them aren't ours. So this is just, like, to me, it's just the next step in the process is, oh, we're going to make contact. We've got, you know, there are beings out there. We're seeing lights, and then we're going to learn more about it. And all of a sudden, we're going to have all this knowledge about these races because we've known about them for thousands of years. And we've been having interactions with them for thousands of years. It's all over the Bible. You can read it. You can read the Vedic texts. You can read, I mean, when Muhammad was given the Quran, who gave him that? Who, like, all over the place. All these ancient texts talk about talking to the gods. Well, what are these gods, these so-called gods? What are the stories behind them? What are, like, and I don't know. I just think this is all a setup for the benevolent overlords are coming, and guess what? There's an evil race of aliens who's going to come and try to make dominion over the world. And they're bad. We're good. We're going to make you into something non-human, but we're good. Don't trust the one that's coming after us, which will be Jesus returning to set up the kingdom here and actually have real peace and prosperity for the earth. You can read it all in Revelation. It's all there. And I think this is just the unfolding of that story.
And I think you're right. And if, like you said, you didn't have some people to send somebody to, or you didn't have a source to send somebody to hear this, but that saddens me, Lucas, that you didn't drop Timothy Alboreto. That's a big deal. He's got a book all about this. You know? Called Birthright.
That's true. You know, and
yeah.
After I started to move on to, I'm like, Rob Skiba is actually a good source. Dr. Michael Heiser.
Yeah.
I don't know if they dive into, like, so they talk about that stuff, but I don't know if they dive into, like, the end times deception side of it as much. I guess Timothy Alboreto does, but
he does.
I don't know.
And that's what
it is there. I'm sorry.
And that's what I. That's what I thought about when you were saying it too, was it sounds just like what he talks about in his book. And it's he even talks about how there's never going to be just full disclosure. There's going to be a trickle down. And that's what NASA is doing with this release, is they're making us, you know, some part of the government or military was like, yeah, no, aliens are real recently through Congress or something, and all that. We're not going to get into that. But, you know, now NASA does this, and it's like a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more to get us conditioned to be okay with it because it's been hidden from us for so long. And that's the whole point, is then you went into that story of these overlords that are going to come in. And one thing that I think I've heard people talk about, maybe Timothy Alberino, I can't remember, but there's going to be a fake invasion that is going to come in. So then these actual invasion can come in and be that benevolent overlord that goes, okay, we are here to protect you. We're here to save you. And then I think you hit the nail on the head there, at least where my thought process is, because Timothy Alberino's book also talks about post-humanism, where there's going to be changes to us genetically. There's going to be interfaces with technology. And you've got Elon Musk over here, like you mentioned, bringing up stuff like Neuralink. And they've got like the next step to Neuralink that they're putting in. And I can't remember what it was. But then I also like that you mentioned the Donald Trump thing and how he was talking about it. And nobody listened to him, because I think it was Jimmy Carter was famously known for being interested in extraterrestrials. And the story that I've heard multiple times, and it came up recently, was somebody, like I can't remember who it was, but somebody on his staff was there, and he said to, I don't even know who it was, CIA, FBI, whoever, an intelligence agency that says, I want to know this. I'm giving you a direct order to tell me what we know about this. And they're in that room, they're at a table, and a folder or like a file gets slid to him, and he opens it up and he reads the page and he starts sobbing, crying, and then basically never brings it up again. That's all they know. That happened with Jimmy Carter. Like, he was adamant about it. He talked about it in his campaign. He talked about it after he became president. And then this went down. And then he just was like, something is like, nope, we're not going there now. We're just not going there now. So it's like, nobody knows what he saw. Nobody knows. I mean, other than the people that put it in front of him and the shadow government that's dealing with, and then Jimmy Carter himself. But it was enough to just basically shut it down. And that's like a big deal, because that could have been a truth that was so outside of his frame of perspective that it shattered his worldview, or it could have been a threat to him and his loved ones saying, drop it or we're going to kill you, and this is how, and he believed him. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, it could have been both, too.
Yeah, it could have been. We have no idea of knowing.
I mean, and who knows? Like, this is kind of out there, but this whole conversation is. So
yeah.
They could have slid him a file that he opens up and has, like, a piece of paper that's like a mirror that had some extraterrestrial talk to him through it or something.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Like, there's technologies out there that the average person can't even comprehend. I said something to somebody the other day about one of my coworkers. He's always coming to me with stuff. And he, like, recently he said, would you rather have $1 billion or be able to sit down and have breakfast with Jesus? Because he knows I'm a Christian. And I was like, the $1 billion for sure.
Yeah.
And he looked really confused. He's like, what? And I'm like, well, like, I can sit down and talk to Jesus whenever I want.
Yeah.
he was like, wait, no, I don't think you get it. I really like you could sit face to face and have, you know, and he'd give you a hug. And I was like, yeah, I kind of like did that yesterday. Like, I'll take $1 billion. Do you have, I looked at him and said, do you have $1 billion? Cause like, I'll take it right now. I'm completely cool with that. That would be. And he looked at me and he said, you're not getting it. And I looked at him and I said, no, I don't think you're getting it. Like, I've tried to explain this kind of stuff to him. And so I think it was yesterday or the day before, I mentioned something to him about weather manipulation and weather manipulation technologies. And he's like, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely crazy. And I'm like, okay, sure. Like, you go back to your department, go to your job. You're obviously ignorant. And they've had weather manipulation technologies for thousands of years. You can look it up. There's all sorts of research that people are coming out with about these different types of mounds and things and the rock structures and stuff that make these lightning clouds, the cumulus clouds, I think they call them. So these thunderstorms that then strike in certain areas because it has to do with telluric currents and that powers different things. There's all sorts of research about this. And now we're using electronics to do similar things. There's all sorts of research out there about that. And I'm dumb because I brought it up, you know. I'm like, you're just ignorant. You're choosing to be ignorant. And there's all this information out there. And then the second we say anything, we're the crazy ones. But like, people are, they've got to start opening their eyes because there's going to be more and more of this being put out there. And they're trying to undo the evolution narrative. They have the evolution narrative in there, but they have to like re-add this God narrative. Like, they're like gods. They're more highly evolved. They're like gods to us. We have to trust them like a god, but it's through evolution they planted us here, like that whole thing. Because of atheism, they have a lot of deconstruction to do.
I had a conversation about, well, before I go there, you mentioned the weather manipulation. And that is something that the not crazy side of the world or the side that is telling people you're crazy when you think of this before, you're conspiracy theorists. Those people are now saying, no, we do this. We cloud seed. We do have this technology. You know, the chemtrails thing ended up not being exactly what everybody thought, but true. And so, like, that's not me as a conspiracy theorist. Like, everybody was like, Bill Gates is doing this. And then eventually he came out and said, yeah, we've been doing that since this year. And it's common knowledge in other countries that they seed their clouds and stuff like that. Or basically, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's some kind of an aluminum like glitter that they put in the clouds that, you know, sticks to the water molecules and reflects the sunlight back. And that's just something that they've been doing. They've been doing this whole time. And everybody was like, you're doing this. And they're like, no, you're tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, and that's not true. Well, now they're like, yeah, no, that's something we do. Yep. So I don't think
it's aluminum foil.
Yeah. Well, that's why they got rid of tinfoil. That's why you can't buy it anymore. But no, and then just like I mentioned, Project Bluebeam. I don't understand that at all. But I've heard that. Or maybe it was a different one, but I'm pretty sure it was Project Bluebeam. It's a technology that the scientist that was being interviewed could only compare to the discoverer of fire. Like, this technology is as versatile and meaningful to our race as the discovery of being able to manipulate fire. Like, think about that. When we're at that stage and now man has fire, you can stay warm, you can cook with it, and you run all these thousands of years later, and we have internal combustion engines and how we use it for energy and just all these different things. You know, fire has become, and heat has become, this ridiculously diverse technology. And he's saying that's what Project Bluebeam is. People want to know what Project Bluebeam does. And it's like, yeah, that's not how it works. It is more of a concept that we can harness for many, many different things. And weather manipulation and seismic manipulation, I think, is one of them. So, and then he had...
Well, it's crazy to think about, because when you think about fire, when you go to the fundamental idea of what harnessing fire means, it means you take, it's alchemy in a sense, because you take a physical object and the energy held within the physical object, or a liquid, which is still a physical object in some sense, and you turn it into energy. And there's like a transmutation that happens there. You take the stored up energy and you release it into reality. So if they're saying Project Bluebeam's like that, like think about it at that fundamental level, like you're taking held energy and releasing it into the world in a way that you can harness for a use. Well, Project Bluebeam, something like that, like what could it be? Because we already have the first one. We already have that physical release of energy. But if it's that significant, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. This is the ode to Timothy Alberino episode, because he's been such a light in the awakening and learning for both of us. But just, you know, I don't know, it's a big deal. it's a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know how else to say it. Like, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Really big deal.
The other thing I was going to mention is you mentioned the evolutionary thing. And I was talking with somebody about autoimmune diseases last night. And I was like, it's just, they have a couple. And I want to read some of the text messages that I met, because my brain started to think way harder than it usually would. And almost to the point to where I didn't think it was mine at the point talking to this person. That happens sometimes. But what did I say? I just said that it's wild, and I think too deeply about things like this. And they went into this, how, you know, genetics, and it's like a luck of a draw, and they, you know, this whole thing, and, you know, you get different things that are passed down, and think, you know, in all this, like, that's how autoimmune works. Is you have one and it gets passed down. I'm like, no, I understand that part. And they said that,
there's no proof of that, though. There's scientifically zero proof that there's genetic markers that actually play a role in it. But.
And that's what they ended up saying, is that's what they think it is.
But anyway,
but it's not. And then they landed on, you know, making a kid is kind of like playing Russian roulette. You never know what you're going to get genetically. And the genetic thing is what pisses me off a little bit. And so this is what I wrote in my trans-like state of text messaging. The theory behind genetics is that having as diverse a gene pool as we do, and the goal, in quotes, of evolution is to survive. So genetics are constantly stacking on top of each other to create more resilient organisms. That's how it's supposed to work. Now, I get that as humans have expanded their intelligence, the survival of specimens that would have survived to carry their that wouldn't have survived to carry their genes on has greatly increased, but that doesn't account for the fact that in this theory, we should have almost 100,000 years as a species to be weeding out things like these diseases and conditions from even existing. Now there's genetic mutations to account for, but with a billion supposed years of evolution behind the current life diversity, it shouldn't be as affected this drastically over this proverbial blink of an eye in the last few thousand years. That model doesn't make sense to me. Just the existence of some of these genetic conditions pushes me towards different theories of origin. Because survival of the fittest is something that humans have kind of taken away from with the, you know, you could say, you know, be funny about it, the warning labels. But, you know, that's only been in the last few hundred years, maybe a thousand years. It started to happen, and like extreme within the last 100 years. So before this, we're supposed to have this evolutionary path that's taken billions of years through different species and organisms, and eventually comes up to us. So if the goal of evolution is creating more and better and resilient and more or higher fortitude beings, that's not working. And I don't have the sources here, but I think you and I have been on different or have been listening to different podcasts and stuff like that where they have talked about that's not the case. Timothy Alberino says it too, but there are scientists out here that are talking about the fact that biological life in general, in pretty much every form, is degrading. And then people will be like, well, it's because we are terrible with the environment. And it's like, yeah. like you, that can be your go-to scapegoat for everything, but everything is degrading and it's been measurable. The human genome is degrading. Everything is degrading. But if evolution was a thing, we should be seeing the opposite. And then what I was postulating right there was just the fact that we've put the warning labels on everything, and that less smart people are surviving longer and, you know, procreating. That could be used as an argument, but we haven't been that way long enough in the grand scheme of this timeline that they've laid out for that to be the case, I believe. So I, at this point, have to look at the evidence that's been put in front of me and say, the Bible, the biblical theory, not theory, but history, is what I have to believe in now. Because what that lays out is a perfect being created, corrupting themselves, and then the story of this corruption slowly getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until it gets so bad. And there's so much more to the story, but this is like an extreme paraphrase. It gets so bad that the creator then has to come back down and fix everything. You know, that's the most condensed.
Okay, I've created your I have to believe Siri? It now because what that lays out note.
Siri, you need to stop.
Sorry.
We don't want your input, Siri.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I was pretty much at the end of my rant there. But it's just interesting. I was having that talk. And then I ended it with, the next part of evolution, and I already covered that, so we're not going to go back into that. So, but yeah, so that's it. I almost don't have a choice anymore than to believe in a God that created us and then we screwed it up. When I look at all of the things that I've learned, seen, and the actual measurable proof of things, and I'm terrible at collecting sources, so if you ask me for it, like, just go do your own research. It's out there. If I found it, if this little, you know, guy in recovery that used to work on cars in northern Michigan has been able to find this stuff, then you can find this stuff. It's not that hard. I don't even know where to go from there. Like, that's all I got.
We got to keep going because I'm looking something up. So
okay, that's fine. Absolutely. Or we can.
I've almost got it, but
put a time stamp on here.
So essentially, the basic concept you're talking about with evolution and everything, like the only explanation for what we're seeing from an evolutionary perspective would be that human beings are not the peak of evolution, and evolution messed up and it's trying to get rid of us so that something else can flourish in our place, which is kind of, I've heard that said for quite a while in different circles and stuff. You know, dinosaurs were the peak of evolution, and then like that didn't work out, so mammals became the peak of evolution. They rose up among all the other creatures and they decided to, on accident, to become more intelligent than everything else. I don't know. Maybe it's time for the reptiles to take back over, or for insects. And as far as we know, there were never insects this big and intelligent. So maybe it's their turn. I don't know.
The ant people, but they live in the hollow earth.
Yeah. The mantis people live on the moon. So
right. The insectolins. Timothy Alberino talks about that too. He's basically our new, you know,
he does
everything.
Which I want to talk at some point about the moon. I heard some really interesting things about the moon. There's a lot of people that talk about how the moon's hollow. And if we, those of us who weren't born yesterday, remember back when a certain president who was more Middle Eastern than African shot missiles at the moon. Mm-hmm. And why? We never got a real explanation for why.
I got
dust patterns or something. But
we didn't get a good one, but we got an explanation. It was because they thought there was water there.
Yeah.
Where they shot, so they wanted to send an explosion to see if they can melt it and have liquid water on the moon. Yeah. No.
Yeah, something like that. But he got a Nobel Peace Prize for it. And I guess the moon reverberates when things strike it like a bell. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you can probably find something about that whole missile shooting process and how they were trying to listen to the reverberation of the moon. But supposedly there's bases on the backside of the moon too. Like, it's convenient that the moon always faces us and we can never see what's on the dark side of it.
Tidally
China
locked.
Recently went there, supposedly. I don't know. There's just a lot of things about space and the whole, we're not being told the truth. I think anybody can figure that out. If you really look into anything for a few minutes, you see all the information that's out there, and then you see what we're being told by so-called official sources. It's like, we're not being told the truth.
Right.
That's observable. What is the truth? That's up for debate, and that's why we have to have these conversations, because we don't know what the truth is. We're trying to figure out what the truth is. The biblical corpus of writings seems to point towards a truth that is very, very accurate once you actually dig into it. And that's why I wanted to pull it back to scripture for a second, because in Matthew 24, where did Christ say it here? He's talking about the end times and the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Let me see, where do I want to start? Matthew 24:21, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So that can be taken as a lot of different ways. Nuclear war has been a thing that people talk about. Somebody went off on about nuclear war at work yesterday because something Trump said. It's the end of the world, it's nuclear war. I'm like, nuclear technology is like 70 years old.
Yeah.
You think we're going to be dropping nukes on each other? I don't.
It's just what, like, people are,
and actually, nuclear technology is a lot older than that, because the nuclear bomb that we dropped was a very, very long time ago, and I don't have the exact dates. I'm not a history buff. I'm sorry, but like, when we dropped that nuclear bomb, that had been many years in research and development.
Yeah.
So the technology goes back significantly further than we're told. We've got things that probably make nuclear bombs look like playing with matches, you know, like the things that
Project
we're
Blue
capable
Beam.
Of, I'm sure far exceed nuclear warfare. Yeah, exactly. Weather manipulation, seismic manipulation, laser technologies, portals, there happened to be a Malaysian flight that just disappeared in the sky one day. There's a lot of things out there. So this could just be talking about God has to intervene so that we don't kill ourselves. Mm-hmm. It could be the genetic breakdown that you were talking about as well. A lot of people believe that the mark of the beast has to do with changing the genetics of human beings so that we are something beyond human, so that we no longer have right to the claim of authority on the earth. Mankind was given dominion of the earth, and because of that, we have authority here. And there are other beings that have been trying to take that authority since Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. And if they can do two different things. They could modify us until we're no longer human. Because the thing is, there is a high God who is beyond all of this and has set the natural law into motion. You have to play by the rules of natural law, but you can bend those rules a lot. And the enemy knows how to bend the rules of natural law. So he's trying to bend the rules so that he can take dominion. He's got certain authority in earth right now because mankind gives it to him, but he's trying to completely strip us of our authority so that he can then take over, because the earth is a lot more significant than we think. Mm-hmm. Like the actual land mass of the earth and what the earth is supposed to be. I was given a minor revelation of what the new heaven and new earth will be like potentially. And it was amazing. We might go into that in a minute. But I think what he could be talking about here is that the other option, you've got, let's become beyond human. There's all sorts of talks about that right now. People all over the place are talking about that. We talked about Neuralink. There's things going on where we're trying to correct the human genome so that we can become these perfect beings that are something beyond human, or android bodies, or putting our consciousness into robots, or all this different stuff. And then there's the other side of degrading the genome so much that we just can't survive anymore.
Right.
Those are both options. They could both be, I think they are both happening currently. Now, which one wins, or whether they both win or whatever, you know, like Christ will come back before that to save us from that completely. Anyway, I'm rambling now.
No, you were kind of on point there. The lag of our newfound technology doing this podcast is a little difficult to deal with, so I'm going to have to figure that out. But it also might have to do with some of the Bluetooth stuff we're doing, so we'll be figuring that out later. You mentioned the moon. I hate to backtrack that far, but there are people that, and this is interesting, I'm not going to go out there and say that I believe in the flat earth. I have been thinking recently that there's an interesting theory about how the earth was flat and now it's round, but I don't even want to go there. But I heard this thing the other day where when you look at the moon and like zoom in with like a good camera or telescope and you see the topography of the craters, if you take the map of the flat earth, it almost identically matches the dark markings on the face of the moon that we can see. And so people are saying, is that the moon is something that's highly reflective, and what we're seeing is a reflection of where we live through the firmament? And I'm like, they did an overlay. They did like a flat earth map and then the moon, and they did an overlay and like made it semi-transparent. And I was like, that is kind of wild. that's all I got from it. I'm like, I'm not forming an opinion right now, but all I'm saying is that this is a little out of what I thought I was going to be thinking about today. So, but we've talked in depth about the moon and space wars and moon scars and all of that, and it's just not something I'm worried about anymore, you know, with the
and the arc.
Yeah. The space arc, that is where the Anunnaki live or something weird like that. But also, here's the thing for you. This is just something that's been rolling around in my head, and I don't know if it fits at all, but I'd like to hear how you think about it. So the Anunnaki are reminiscent of the ancient Sumerian texts. The mainstream scientists are trying to postulate that those are like the oldest known written histories ever. And then they'll say that the Bible itself was influenced in how it was wrote in some of the stories by the Sumerian texts that come, or I say text, but it was mostly engraved on rocks. I don't believe that. And I've heard a couple people talk about like Ali Saldana that goes on Blurry Creatures and how he talks about how much older ancient Hebrew is, and that's what the Bible's based on, and like the Torah and stuff like that. And how, and then he postulates how these other texts are either based off of that or their stories of the opposing side. He actually has a really awesome perspective in some of the podcasts that he's done. He's done some private ones, but he's also done some public ones with blurry creatures where he talks about, you know, this story that is wide known that comes from Sumerian history is the opposing side of this this battle that happens in the Bible. You're just seeing it from the Israelite side here in the Bible, and you're seeing it from the Philistines, and he talked about what that meant and how it correlated with the ancient Sumerian and stuff like that. And I think that's part of the great delusion. We always called it the great deception, but I heard somebody else talk about the great delusion recently, and it's basically the same thing, but I think delusion is more accurate, because when people start to believe these things, that they get delusional. They really do. And I don't know if deceptional is a word. What do you think about that? The whole Bible text, which came first, the Bible or the egg?
The Bible or the egg?
I don't know.
Well, the Bible is not that old. The way that we have it.
Right.
The scriptural text, and we talked about this before, that like you have to look at it like a library. And if you go back to the library, if the Book of Enoch is true, that's the oldest book that we know of. Mm-hmm. After that, most of the books date back to Moses.
Right.
At the oldest, which would be 5,000-ish years, I think. 4,000 or 5,000 years. Enoch, we have no idea. There are people that date all of creation back 6,000 years. There are people that date it back significantly longer than that. The new creation of mankind on the earth, who knows how that relates to all the other creations that were here. I was just looking something up about when you started talking about ages and things like that. People talk about these texts and how they're the oldest or whatever, but do you remember the date for the Sumerian text? Like 10,000 years or something?
It was something like that.
7,000 years.
It was multi-thousand years. And it might have been like 4 to 7, but a lot of people postulate that the Younger Dryas has something to do with it, which is something between 11 and 16,000 years ago. And that's where my belief kind of stands on humanity mm-hmm. as a species that we know today, is that the creation story in the Bible, like, I think that was it. We came into a new age, which was out of an ice age and into this time. And that's when the new creation happened here on Earth. That's kind of where I sit with what I've known. I'm not going to, stand with my sword.
I love that you brought up the ice age, because I was going to bring up the age of the Great Lakes. Uh-huh. So they've found in the past few years in the Great Lakes, they found something that resembles Stonehenge.
Yeah.
I think it's the bottom of Lake Michigan.
It's in West Bay.
And
where we grew up.
Lake Michigan. Yeah. And Lake Michigan is believed to be anywhere from like 7 to 32,000 years old. I think 7 is supposedly like the completion of the Great Lakes or something, but
so it
averaged that out to 14,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They think it was about 14,000 years ago when they were formed and started to fill. So that's the last glacial period, as the glaciers pulled off and then like they filled with water. Like you're saying, that might have been the creation of the last epic of the earth, as in Enoch, Adam and Eve, all that kind of stuff. The Great Flood comes after that, I believe. Anyway, if anyone wants to question the timeline that we've been given a little bit more, go look that up. So who built that?
Yeah. There's stuff in
it's there. Lake Huron. It's not a coincidence.
Yeah, it's in the shallower mm-hmm. parts.
Probably Lake Superior too, but
the one that they found in West Grand Traverse Bay is out there, and it's been known for a little while now, but it has carvings of mastodons in some of the stones. So go for that. Find out how long they've been extinct for. But then there have been stone structures found in Lake Huron too. And I don't know if you ever find anything in Lake Superior. It's too deep. I'm pretty sure that was always water. You can't tell me that was a glacier that carved out Lake Superior. It's just not possible.
Yeah. Superior is huge and freakishly deep, and you would need like full on submarines to really explore Lake Superior. But
yeah.
Anyway, like the, just, I don't know. We're lied to about so much of that stuff. And whether the Sumerian texts are older or the Bible's older, the Bible stands up to scrutiny better, from my understanding. But the Sumerian texts also align with a lot of it. And I don't think they necessarily contradict the story being told. It's just a different angle of a similar or same story.
Right. That's kind of what I thought. And it's like, I feel a lot of the different mythologies are out there, like Greek mythologies. And we can go into so much about that when it comes to everything. But I really do stand on the fact that the Hebrew text that the Bible comes from was first. And I just, nobody's given me evidence that proves it wrong. People will say, well, this is this, and this is that, and this is this. And it's like, okay, but you're also not giving true facts about the origin of the biblical scriptures. Like, you want to talk about when the Bible was created. People are like, well, the Bible was written, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's great. That's not where it came from, though. It was older than that. There are scriptures from older. There are findings of actual papyrus scrolls that are older than that. That, like, there's a Leviticus scroll that they found that is ridiculously old. It matches almost perfectly, like pretty much perfectly, just like maybe a different dialect or something like that. I can't even remember what it was, but it's like a carbon copy, and it's thousands of years older than the most recent one that we had known before that. And that was found somewhere in the Holy Land. I can't remember exactly where. But it's like, we just keep getting all of this evidence, and then they just want to... I also watched this documentary a long time ago, and it was about Egypt. And about how we have a historical record of what modern Egyptologists say, this is how it happened and when. But then you go and you look at the physical evidence of things that have happened to the land, the monuments, the artifacts, and all of that, and what's actually on the walls. That's the cool thing about the Egyptians, is they put everything on their walls, and like, this is what's happening and when. And then you look at the Bible, and it fits with the Bible, not with the history books that the Egyptologists are teaching today. And people have gotten death threats for sharing this information. Like, the documentary got kind of, I saw it on a streaming service, and it got expunged for a while. I couldn't find it. I just refound it recently, and it is actually, it's amazing. So the delusion and the deception is just, it's so far out there. I don't even know what I'm going to label this episode. Probably, you know, go research yourself or something like that.
Go do your own work.
Yeah. Forgive our technical difficulties and go do your own work.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot of interesting research about how the pyramids are actually chemical factories. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with the mounds being used to make clouds that then strike lightning around certain places to power these pyramids that made these chemicals so that they could do agriculture. It happened in Britain. It happened in Egypt. It seemed to happen in other places in the world as well. And there's research out there. People are researching this. People are giving their entire life to this, but you don't hear about it because it goes against the narrative. There's also, like, you know, the pyramids are spacecraft of our malevolent overlords, but that's the Stargate theory. I don't know if I subscribe to all of that, but
Well, I definitely think that there's portals and stargates too. Like, we're just going to go everywhere today. Why not? Let's just go absolutely everywhere today.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
Well, how do you think they get around? They use wormholes.
I think there's a lot of different ways, and it kind of depends on who it is and where they're coming from. But if they're coming from the city lights on Alpha Centauri B or whatever we saw earlier or listened to earlier, then who knows? And that kind of what got me thinking about that is, what if that's real? What if they're showing it to us, but it's not just some satire that they're talking about to get us, you know, acclimated to the thought of an alien invasion? Like, I think they're using it that way for sure. But what if it is real? What if it's this actual, we're finally getting pictures of a different civilization that would have to have some sort of technology similar to us to have light emitting structures that you can see from space? That just cements my theory of my belief system that the elder race that Timothy Alperino talked about, and we talked about it last week, is the elder race, the angels, whatever you want to call them. There could be multiple, there could be one, it could be different, but what we're really talking about is this sibling of ours in the family of the Kingdom of Heaven. The royal family of the Kingdom of Heaven. And what would be implied there is that there have been different creations, kind of like what we're experiencing now, but on different planets. And then these different beings are these different races of siblings in that royal family. What if we actually found one? And that's them. That's where they're coming from. Or maybe it's a newer one that's in a state almost like we are. Like, my brain's been working a lot.
Like, or Lucas. What if they're human?
That's true. Well, arguably, we're all human. Like, all of, if, you know, because we have the DNA of the family of the father, I guess that's what I'm going to say. I'm not really good with the terminology that I want to use here, but technically we could all be human. What we're talking about is our race is mankind, I guess. So,
yeah, I guess that's more what I meant by human is like mankind, like made after the image of Adam. What if, and I'm not saying Stargate SG-1 is fact of creation, but I do think media releases things that are true in small bits, and they manipulate them. They twist the truth a little bit, and they make a fun story, but it's a soft release of what's actually going on. Not all the information, but some of the information. And what they have postulated is that there's this ancient race called the Ancients, or the Elder Race would be kind of what we're referring to, that are technologically advanced and spiritually more advanced. They created a system to go all over the universe, galaxies and such, called the Stargates. And then a different malevolent race comes in and enslaves mankind and uses mankind for their own means, uses them as slaves, uses them as hosts to function in, to possess them, almost as androids. And the human being is then like tortured inside of them in the process. And they took humans from Earth and took them all over to be used as slaves, to mine places and stuff like that. And to me, that's even scarier. What if we find that these people that we may come in contact with are just as human as we are, and they have ancient stories of being taken from a different planet and planted there? Mm-hmm. That's even scarier. Like that freaks me out way more than finding a different race of different beings that originated there, you know?
So do you remember when we talked about 20 and backs?
Yes.
The Oh, it's the secret space program / ancient alien community. There's people that have regressive memories of these things called 20 and backs. And I'm not going to get too deep into that. We have talked about it before, and there's other people that know a lot more about it. You can find it. I learned most of mine through Cosmic Disclosure on the Gaia Network and then looking into the different speakers that they had on there. And just, it's just, it was fascinating to me because I think that when you brought up the essence trade that Satan does from that, I think it was Daniel Duvall talks about that, it sounded really, really familiar. But what they're talking about is the Nazis actually still exist. And they're like, not in Brazil. They're not in the Hollow Earth, but they're in space working with draconians in this intergalactic human trafficking thing, basically. And that's where a lot of the missing 411s come from and stuff like that. But yeah, so they're abducting humans, and they're abducting human mankind from Earth because our creative properties are, and just in the physical is all I'm getting at, but our creative properties are higher than average when it comes to the intelligent life that exists in the universe. So when we have an idea or given an idea, so that's what kind of what the idea is behind the slave trade, is we're now, you know, sold off to different races or governments or whatever of different planets. And when they'll give us an idea, like, we want this, there's something about human beings from here on planet Earth where we can take that vision in our mind and use our hands to make it a reality out of materials around us better than most other races. And I would almost argue that it's like an elder race thing, and that's kind of where UFOs and all that nonsense come from. But that's a different rabbit trail. So, yeah, I kind of forgot where we were coming from there. But that's what I have to say on it.
I kind of forget where we're coming from, too, because we're just coming from everywhere today.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we've gotten a lot out there. Like, this is going to be a shock factor episode.
Yeah. And so the thing, like, I talked about it when I was doing the prayer ministry stuff a couple months ago, and Alpha Centauri came up, and then we talked about it on the podcast that there's been these interactions with beings that say they're from Alpha Centauri. And this dates back to like the 60s or the 40s or something like that. And supposedly they had an interaction with a being called Hans that had a telepathic interaction through a psychic and was telling them about another race that was from Alpha Centauri. And then later on, we supposedly interacted with the Alpha Centaurians. And Alpha Centauri is the closest star system to the Earth. Mm-hmm. It's a double star system, which, just to think about things for a minute, think about media, where we have this media and we're like, oh yeah, we just came up with this. It was a cool concept. But they go to a different planet, and this planet has two stars.
Yeah.
And it's rotating around these two stars. And it's in, I think it's in Star Wars. I might be wrong, but there's, it's in
multiple, but different. You're thinking about Tatooine and Star Wars. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so there's these representations of these things. It's like, have these people went there? Have they went there in their spirit body or astral projected? Because I've been listening to more things, not on purpose, just they happen to come up on the podcast that I listen to about these people astral projecting and teaching themselves to have interactions with aliens or going places and stuff. And they teach themselves how to do it. And I don't think we should do that, but it's a capability that human beings can have. And we can go places and see things, and they're seeing these things that align with what's portrayed in media. They're seeing these things, and people can say, oh, they're seeing that in their mind because they watched a movie once. Yeah, maybe. Or maybe that movie was made because that writer went there and saw it.
Yeah.
It's worth thinking about, at least.
Something telepathically or astrally projected the information or experiences or memories into their head. Like, that's all something that's really common and possible. And if I would love for a Bible-believing Christian to go, that's ridiculous. I was like, all right, well, then explain spirit-inspired scripture writing to me, please. Please. You know, that's where I'm standing there.
Yeah, all scripture is God-breathed.
Yeah, and how does that happen? We're going to get me on one of my triggers of closed-minded people.
Well, and a lot of Christians, Western Christians, a lot of denominations think you can't even hear the voice of God anymore. And there's a book that I've been reading lately, and he's talking about healing. I've talked about it a little bit. And he essentially says, well, if you don't believe healing's for you today, then it's not. Because all these things are given to you through faith. And if you don't have the faith, you're not going to receive it. So, like, if you don't believe you can hear God, you probably won't.
It's a big thing I talk to people about when they...
I believe I can.
Yeah. I've kind of been helping, because of my own experience, been helping a couple people that have asked me about... some of the people I've started to go to church with and stuff like that have asked me about my experience and how do you, you know, get to have these and stuff like that. So I've kind of been... Well, and I've also recommended some of the books that I've read and stuff like that that helped me along the way. Because I can say it for you, but I might not say it in the way that you understand it. But if you believe that you can't hear the voice of God, you're not going to. And the whole thing about manifestation or prayer is Jesus himself said, pray for it and believe that it's yours. And I heard, this is actually something I wanted to talk about when we were talking about me wanting to talk about prayer last week. This was it. And I heard this video and this guy was talking about, he had an analogy of two of his kids and he has a younger son and he'll have his friends over and they'll run around the house and their dad, can we have a peanut butter sandwich? Dad, can we have a juice box? Dad, can we have a snack? Dad, can we? And, you know, when it's proper, he gives it to them. But then he has his older daughter who he'll come home, and he's a minister, but he'll come home from, you know, being at the church or work or whatever, and she'll be there with her friends, and they're just got all these ingredients. The whole pantry's out on the counter, and they're making a lasagna or something like that, and he's like, what are you doing? He's like, well, we're cooking. We took, and he goes, that's my, and you know, he was saying, and not in a mean way, he goes, that's my stuff that I provide in the house. But the difference between the two is one is constantly asking and begging for stuff, and one knows that her father has provided this. It's in the pantry, and then she thanks me for it after she uses it. And he goes, what do you think your prayer life would be like if it went from begging God for these things that you want in your life to thanking him for these things that he's given you? And he goes, maybe you haven't even had it yet, but maybe all you're missing is believing that it's yours and thanking him. And when I hear something like that, I'm like, that's what the New Age is trying to teach with manifestation. They're just plugging into the wrong source. And that's something that I got tripped on earlier on my spiritual journey, is that I was going, this sounds more real, this sounds more real, this sounds more real, in places that weren't Christianity. And so then I wanted to follow that and go that way. But then there's also stuff in those that has led to deceive you and get you off path. And that's what was happening to me. So it takes an experimental life and relationship with Jesus and with the Father to weed out, what is the church missing? What aren't they teaching us? And then what is evil? And being able to learn how to hear his voice, having a prayer life, and being in the Word of God is how you do that. And everybody that's listening to this podcast right now, if they get this far, is like, what are these guys on? Because they went from different planets, different beings, different this, and now they're back in the Bible. They went there once, and now they came back. But that's why we do this, and we blend it up like this so much, because it is all connected. And we have to start realizing that. Otherwise, we're going to be these people that are going to be falling into the satire that's being given to us, that we talked about at, you know, the beginning and the middle there about the whole NASA and stuff like that, and the deceptive alien invasion and stuff like that. Like, if you really read the Bible with the glasses of what is happening in the world today, you will see that it lines up really, really well. And we have to start preparing, guarding ourselves, getting, you know, people say get right with God. Well, get in alignment with his kingdom and be serious about it. Stop just saying it, do it, because this is, it's crunch time. And crunch time might mean a couple of years from now. It might mean a couple of decades from now. It might mean a century from now. Who really knows? But we have to do our part to get the collective of the elect that Jesus is talking about where it needs to be. We really do. And sitting in a church pew, singing our little songs, blind to the very serious things that are happening around us in the world, is hurting. It's not helping. I'm not going to say that going to church and singing songs is bad, but if that is the epitome of your relationship with God and your spirituality, you're failing, and you can do better.
Yeah, it's time that the church stood up and realized the authority and dominion that we have and actually took of what is given to us. Because like you said, it's available to us. But most Christians go, I can't hear God. That's not possible. You can't hear the voice of God. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, that's what the Bible says, right? That you can't hear your dad talk to you.
Right.
Because that's not the Bible that I read. And there's another verse that came to mind when you're talking about this stuff, and it kind of hits on a lot of things that we were talking about, and it's actually from the same passage from earlier. It's two verses later from where I stopped. But if we go back to Matthew 24, I stopped at verse 23, and I'll read 23 and 24. And if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect.
Yep.
And it says right after that, see, I have told you beforehand. So he's warning you, things are going to happen, that the people that think they know God, think they know the Christ, are still going to be able to be deceived, possibly even the elect ones, the ones who really do know him. So these signs and wonders are going to be amazing. And I don't think we've seen that in the past. Mm-mm. I think this is something to come. We've seen some things like this in the past. There have been people, that, you know, there's a hobo in every city that says he's Jesus, but he's true. Not walking on water and turning water into wine. You know, he might wish he could, but the Christ means the exalted one or the anointed one, or is connected to Jesus, which means the Savior. So anyone who presents themselves as Savior or exalted above or higher in some way is saying they are the Christ. They're the one that has the way. They're the Savior. They're going to show the way out. They're saying they are a Christ. Politicians like to exalt themselves quite often and say that they are the ones that know the way. They are, in a sense, a antichrist figure. Right. Most politicians. I'm just throwing that out there. Yep. Just do with that as you will. There will be more. There will be signs. There will be things that happen that could deceive even the elect ones, the one that have been in church every day, who know their Bible, think they know their Bible, but have been deceived by modern Western Christianity to think that God is one thing and not another.
Yep.
And they'll be deceived by the deception that's coming. And essentially, we want people to know the belief in aliens is not against your Christian belief. You can actually believe in both. They're not mutually exclusive. And they're not all demons. To say, oh, it's all just demons is ridiculous and ignorant. You don't know what you're talking about. So yeah. Go learn more. I was talking to somebody at work about it the other day, and they're like, well, I just don't know what I think about all that. I'm a Christian, but like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, you do believe in aliens. And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, no, you do, because God is an alien, because he didn't originate on Earth. He created all things. If you believe that, you believe in aliens.
Right.
He's extraterrestrial, which is alien. He's not from here. Alien just means not from here. Extraterrestrial means from beyond the Earth. So God is from beyond the Earth. Angels are
probably
from beyond the Earth. Yeah, probably. Might have been here before. Might have. And the thing is, there's the belief in jinn.
Yeah.
And jinn are made of fire. They're like these spirits made of fire, which are not necessarily the same as what the Bible teaches as angels. So it does say in scripture that the sons of God rejoiced with the Father when he created the earth. So there were things here before. Some people believe that's human spirits, actually. It may be human spirits and other things. I don't know. It might not be human spirits. I'm not sure. But then there seems to be ancient races of things that were on the earth before mankind. And they made things like Stonehenge in the bottom of Lake Michigan. We don't know. There's a lot that we don't know, but we're just trying to piece it together and say, don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, there's information there that we need to look at and be serious as Christians and take in all the knowledge we can, filter it through scripture and see what stands. Because extraterrestrials are all over the Bible. Miracles are all over the Bible. Hearing the voice of God is all over the Bible. Certain signs, healing, freedom from oppression and sin. And like, there's things all over the Bible that most of the church is just thrown out, and they act like it's all nuts. And it's like, it's not. Like, and if you can't believe that you can hear the voice of God, you're definitely not going to believe that aliens are in the Bible.
Right. But Lucas, how does that happen? How do we learn how to do that? You know, you get around like-minded people. You research as much as you possibly can. You learn how to hear God's voice. You get in the Word and you pray. And all of those things together start to come together and give you this discernment. You have to have discernment. You have to. And there's like gifts of discernment and stuff like that, where certain people can be more gifted in certain things. But to be a follower of Jesus, you have to get discernment, and he will give it to you. You can ask for it, but you need to maintain it with all of these different things. It's like having a
soul. So Mitchell, how do you hear the voice of God? What does God sound like?
He sounds like my thoughts that aren't my thoughts. He really does. And you have to have a little bit of knowledge. That's where the research comes in. You have to know that God is never going to tell you to self-harm. God is never going to tell you to do something evil. And that's saying it very, very simply. But it does. That's what it is. Your mind, and I've said this in the podcast multiple times, and I get it from Mark Verkler's book, The Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice. And he has another book for right-minded. There's the left-brained and right-brained people. There's another one. It's the same book, but to understand it differently. I can't remember the name of that one. But your thoughts is a projector screen. And then, but there's multiple projectors. There's God's voice, Jesus, Holy Spirit. There's this good side. The angel on the right shoulder is the analogy there. Then you have the projector that is you. Your soul is projecting on that screen. And then you have the devil on your left shoulder that is projecting on that screen. That is negative, intrusive thoughts is what's happening in there. And once you start to weed out what is what, you start to realize that this thought that I'm having isn't mine. It didn't come from something influenced in me. And it takes time. It has taken me a couple years before really understanding this. I'm 37 years old and I've been going to church since the week after I was born. You know, this is not something that is openly talked about enough in the Christian area, the Christian atmosphere. It's just not. But you have to have things if you're going to be an awakened son of God or daughter of God, then you have to be able to do this and you have to put in the work. You have to make it experimental. You're going to fail. You might listen to the wrong voice, but if your goal is to hear God's voice and be a follower of Jesus Christ, you are going to eventually realize that was wrong. And then you're going to do better next time. That's my experience. I hope the people listening that try these things have more luck and less failures than I did. But then you get into the world of sin, transgression, and iniquity, and you can be influenced by a lot of different things. So there's so much attached in every direction. But please, if I left something out, fill it in there.
I mean, you pretty much said exactly what I was hoping you would, that the voice of God sounds like you, because the voice of the enemy also sounds like you, because you in your head sounds like you. Everything in your head sounds like you. I don't know if anyone's ever noticed that your thoughts sound like you in your mind. They're not you. You are the one observing the thoughts. And so telepathic transmission into your mind, which is how God talks to you. Sometimes he talks in dreams and visions. Sometimes he talks in an audible voice that you don't actually hear, but you kind of do, and it's different than you. But generally, the way that God's going to communicate with you is it's going to sound like you in your head. But it's not going to come from you. And if you really think about it, you'll realize, like, where did that come from? Like, that was profound. That was a revelation of some sort. It was something beyond me. Oftentimes, it comes with an emotional experience.
Yes.
Love, warmth, comfort, things like that. The enemy can also do that.
Right.
So that's where scripture is important, because you need to know the Bible, know the scriptures, read what it says, and then you can filter that through, because God's not going to contradict the Bible. He might contradict your understanding of the Bible, but if that's the case, he'll lead you to more to understand what he's actually saying in the Bible so that it no longer contradicts. The enemy will contradict the Bible. He'll speak the Bible to you and twist one or two words. And that's why you need to be vigilant. You need to search things out. You need to seek understanding. If you knock, God will open the door. Mm-hmm. He will meet with you and he will teach you. But if you knock on the wrong door, the enemy will open the door too. So you need to be careful and you need to be vigilant and learn these things, learn to hear his voice, learn that his voice at first might sound a lot like the enemy's voice too, but the enemy will come with manipulations. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, where the Father comes in to build you into who you're supposed to be, who he created you to be. You can hear the voice of God. Now there might, like Mitchell said, there might be things blocking the voice of God and you need deliverance from those things, and you can do self-deliverance. And you can also find people that can help you and pray with you. And if you find a strong believer, like if you need someone like that, start asking the Father, bring someone into my life.
Oh, he will.
Who can help set me free from these things. And he will. That's it. You have to keep your eyes open, but he will. And then, I mean, he might even go to the point, I've heard of people having visions of someone they didn't know and then like meeting them in a shop somewhere and going, hey, I had a dream about you. I need to pray for you.
Yep.
Sometimes people receive that well, sometimes they don't. But there are people out there who know the voice of the Father who will step in and help you if you seek it.
I have an analogy for the voice of God and how it looks and how it sounds the same as you or negative experience or negative voices in your head. You're standing on the shore of a body of water and you throw a rock into the water, it's going to make a ripple. If I throw a pencil into the water, it's going to make a ripple in the water. If I throw a can of Coke in the water, it's going to make a ripple in the water. All of these things make the water ripple after they enter into the water. But all of these things have different contents. They're made of different things. So you have to look at not just the voice, but what it's saying. You have to. If you need help, it's very, and there's a scripture about it. It is wise to find a wise believer, or I think it's a group of them, it says in the scripture, like three or four people. I can't remember. In the Old Testament. I want to say it's in one of the lesser known prophets, but to hear and understand God's voice and discern it, you should bounce it off of other people. The problem is you don't want to get people involved that hear his voice less than you do, because it's going to lead you astray. That's an experience that I've had, and it's dangerous.
So in Hebrews 5, verse 14, let me find it here. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He's talking about teachings of scripture. He uses meat and milk to describe it. Like milk is for infants. Meat is for those who are fully mature and can handle it.
Is that Hebrews what?
And so meat will make you stronger. Hebrews 5:14.
Thank you.
Meat will make you stronger than milk will. There's still value of milk. Milk has a lot of nutrients in it, but meat will build strong muscles and you will be strong physically by eating meat. Whereas milk can help, but it's not going to build you up as much in strength physically. Milk is for infants. Infants can only have milk at first. And then the goal is to get them eating stronger foods to build them up even more as they mature. So he's using this as an analogy for what goes on in the spirit. And he says to discern both good and evil. So the mature one who is strong can discern good and evil. And this is one of those problems in the church that you need to learn the Bible. You need to not focus on the enemy because you don't want to give the enemy power is what they'll say. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. You do not give the enemy power by learning about the enemy.
Right.
That is a lie. You learn about the enemy because when you know his tactics, you can see them, you can avoid them, and you can fight against them. So, and now don't dwell on, I'm not saying like go get the Satanic Bible and read it every day, but knowing the basics of what the Satanic Bible says can help you distinguish evil over good. Like you can know the difference. Be careful with that stuff. Don't dive into it. Don't get lost in it. Don't let that become what you dwell on all the time, but know the tactics of the enemy so that you can fight against him. That being said, we talked about how to understand the voice of God, how to know you're hearing God, and how the enemy can also sound like God, but it does different things. The enemy does different things. There's a podcast that I mentioned before, right after I listened to it. It's episode 655 of the Confessionals podcast called Following the Voices. And it's about, particularly about schizophrenia. We all interact with the voices that overtake people with schizophrenia, but we don't all succumb to them in the same manner. It's a podcast worth listening to. It's over 2 hours long, but the man has spent his whole life learning about schizophrenia in many ways outside of the normal medical system, because they won't let you dive into the things that he was diving into. They won't let you actually talk to the voices that are being presented. My wife and I watched the movie Nefarious the other day. All believers should watch the movie Nefarious. All people should probably watch the movie Nefarious that are of mature age to be able to, it's creepy. It's not super scary. It's not gory. It's not, but it's very creepy. And I wouldn't watch it with children Like, I think it's rated R.
Probably.
If not, it should be, because, like, you should probably be of age, at least 17, to be watching it, like, mature enough to be able to handle the things that are happening, because it's a man who's possessed by demons.
Right.
And they're talking to the psychiatrist, and it's two guys sitting in a room talking for almost the entire movie, and then the one guy gets the electric chair at the end. But it shows you the voices. It gives you understanding of the voices. This podcast I'm talking about, episode 655 of the Confessionals podcast, Following the Voices, it's worth listening to understand what the enemy sounds like too. Because discerning the enemy from God, from yourself, is a very important skill that we're not taught and that we need to know. Because you need to know the voice of the Father. Hopefully, as time goes on, you'll learn to discern the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because mm-hmm. He's going to speak to you through the Holy Spirit all the time, but sometimes it'll be the Father, sometimes it'll be the Son. They talk to you differently. Even though He is one and the same, there's different attributes of His character that can come to you in different ways. He can come to you as the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of truth or power. There are different aspects of the Father, of God, that will interact with you. Being able to discern that is beneficial in many ways too. But it's worth knowing both sides. Learn what the enemy sounds like. And once you learn what the enemy sounds like, you're going to realize that a lot of your self-talk is the enemy, and you think it's you, and it's not. Mm-hmm. So stop talking to yourself that way. Stop letting them manipulate your mind and dwelling on those things, because it's not true. You're not what those voices say. You are what the voice of the Father says. So hear that, speak that over yourself, become that in the physical manifestation of it. Because like Mitchell said earlier, mankind is really, really good at having a concept in their mind and then turning it into a reality. So do it on the good side, not on the evil side. Don't let the evil ones deceive you. That's about all I've got on all that.
Well, then what I wanted to do, are you ready to wrap it up after that then?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to add that the enemy was in my head and told me that nobody loved me, that I was worthless, and that I would be better off if I ended my own life. There was always this small, because I just didn't have the discernment to know, or was even trying to, I was giving into that side of me and letting it speak louder, and it told me to get another bottle, drink more, drown your feelings, and it was teaching me slowly in things that kind of felt good and comfortable to slowly kill myself if I wouldn't do it the fast way, and to cloud my judgment so I couldn't hear the Father. The Father doesn't say those things for us. And as soon as you start to try, He will be there and you will hear Him. There's a lot of different ways to do that. I recommend looking into fasting. Try to find, there's a couple good ones online of sermons I've heard about fasting and what it can do for us. But you have to be careful, because if you're not in enough prayer, it can go the other direction, in my personal experience. You have to be in prayer if you decide to go that route. But the Father is never going to ask you to hurt yourself. And if you're having these thoughts, there's a way out. I've found it personally. And it's taken a lot of work. But as soon as I started to connect with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, it got easier. That's all I got to say. I hate to leave the podcast on a somber note, but that is good.
I've got one more.
I got that's good news, and I'll let Lucas give that one more.
Yep, one more word to wrap all that up. Jeremiah 29:11-13. He's giving Jeremiah a prophecy for the nation of Israel about them being captive in Babylon for 70 years, and then because of their wickedness, and then how he's going to call them back, and he's going to bring them out of their captivity and give them freedom. And I think this speaks to exactly what Mitchell was saying. So Jeremiah 29:11-13, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." And I think that just kind of caps up everything that we were just saying the last 20, 30 minutes.
It's perfect. And it says, that's where it is, right there in the Bible, right there, Jeremiah 29:11-13, that it's thoughts. He's in your thoughts. So that's where it is. That's the key. And then read the rest of it. The rest of it is how. He gave it to you. Turn to him, seek him wholeheartedly, and you'll get there. And then ask people if you got questions, like, "Hey, I'm stumped." And if you ask wise people, they'll give you answers. Sometimes you don't want to hear them, but that's what it is. I appreciate you bringing that up, Luke. I love ending the podcast on scripture. I really do. So,
me as well.
Thank you, everybody, for being here with us today. I know we are kind of all over the place, but I feel like there was some, I got a little bit of the brain worms right now because we've kind of went all over the place, and it's just so much came out from Lucas and I. And I just appreciate you guys listening. And I hope you come back again for another one. I'll see you later.
Over and out.
Thanks for listening to the Redacted Recover Your Mind podcast. For more episodes, click the link in the description.
I got that all recorded.
I thought I heard you come back. I was like, is he going to say anything? Is he back?
So
I could play it better at some point, but
let's see if
that's something good. I've been writing slowly for a little while. But remember that the ukulele is a toy. It's not a serious instrument.